Today is a very, very special day. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly speaking from the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Today is a very, very, very special day. Very special. Now, all of you,
and you millions of people around the world who are listening to this,
all of you are hearing me say this is a very, very special day, and you're thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. Does he mean my day is going to be special too, or just his day? Or does he mean the day at the monastery is special for everyone at the monastery, or just for a special few? What does he mean when he says, today is a very, very special day? Well, I have a great capacity. I looked at a picture that was sent in the email yesterday, and it was a picture of this Russian chess player. And he was sitting at a table looking at a chessboard. But the table was jutting out from a mirror on the wall, you know, the table that's at the mirror on the wall. And he was sitting in his chair looking at the chessboard. Well, there was several chessboards shining through on the mirror. And he had his hand up very much in concentration. And I thought to myself, he doesn't know what kind of day it is. He's in another world. He's on another dimension. He's on the dimension of playing chess. And if someone were to walk by him, he wouldn't hear them. If someone were to call his name, he wouldn't hear them. If someone were to try to distract him in any way, they would have to be very bold to distract him, because he is living in a very, very special world. Now, his world has neither heat nor cold. His world has neither wet nor dry. His world has neither noise or quietness. His world is unique. Reminds me of my different friends who are writers and who are authors of books and magazines and poetry, and who are painters and who are painting various things, including house painters. Yeah, including house. They get so wrapped up in what they're doing, nothing else exists outside of them. Nothing. Now, when you involve yourself in any activity in life where nothing else outside of what you're doing is of any interest to you, it doesn't get your attention, you don't even know it's happening, then beautiful things take place. This morning, I took 2 seconds and I moved some plants that I had on my on the countertop by the window over to my flower box. And as I moved them over there, the one stem was too long. And it wasn't the stem, it was a stick in there that was too long. The stick was anticipating the stem growing up. So I took the stick out and it fit over there perfectly. And I thought, how nice. And then I picked up 2 little pots that Ellen had given me. And I picked up the 2 little pots and they fell over. They were maybe about an inch and a half, 2 inches on diameter on the top. And they had big, big plants in them. The plants just kept getting bigger and bigger. I got to replant them into a larger container. But big plants. And they, every time I look at them, they want to flower. And they're bursting out in flowers and joy and getting bigger. And this is just what Ellen gave me. Now, you see, she didn't know that. She knew that she gave me a plant that was flowering. She didn't know that she was giving me a plant that was going to have a perpetual life. She thought it was just some little thing she paid a quarter for, and it would look nice on my desk for 1 week or so, and then throw it out, you know. But no. And so I took the 2 little plants off the shelf, and I went over to my counter, and on the way to the counter, the plant, it tipped over. and it fell on the floor. And it broke off the stem, but yet there was about, maybe 2 inches of stems and leaves down below it. And they were perfectly okay. So I shoved it back in the pot, because naturally it jumped out and put dirt all over my floor. And I went over to the counter, and I put the plant back in. I took out a little shot glass, and I put water in it, and I put the little stem in the water, because if it wants to make some roots, okay. If it doesn't, then into the trash. But I'll give it a chance, you know, to play that second game in life, you know. So, now what was going on while I was doing all this? I haven't the vaguest idea. I turned on my computer to radio stations, you know, so that it would pick up classical radio stations around the world, and it worked just fine, and it got a little bit too much, so I shut that off, and a few other little changes. But you see, what's happening? Meanwhile, Rex ensconced himself on my bed, stretched out from head to foot of my bed. He really is 6 feet long or better. You know, that's a long dog. When he stretches his legs and his arms both ways, he's a long, long dog. And he didn't care what I was doing. Rex, too, started on his journey of a very, very special day. And his journey of a very, very special day was within. I walked by him. He didn't blink an eye. I carried my plants around there behind him. He didn't blink an eye. He didn't care at all what I was doing because it didn't involve him. He wasn't included. So he included himself in his very special world. Now, all of us have a chance to have a very special world. And all of us do have a very special world, 99 and 99 100% of the time. But that one little bit of the time that we don't have a very special world is the moment we're touched by somebody else. The moment somebody else comes into our world and says, hey, do this. Now, this morning, we finished our breakfast, and Rex came to the table bringing toys, and he says, come, let's play. He says, you're just sitting there doing nothing important, you know, it's my day, come on. And he talked to us. He said, come on, play. And so, what did we do? We just threw him his ball or threw him his toy. And he said, no, I want you and the toy. I don't want just the toy. I want you there too. And we played with him a little bit. And then we told him, okay, now I'm going to give a talk on the internet here. So, you be quiet. He says, but I'm not done playing. And I said, you're done playing. Now sit down and be quiet. Now, you didn't understand all that dog talk, but that's what we were saying. And so, what did he do? He said, Dad, you're the boss. And he laid down on a tile that he likes to lie on because it's nice and cool. And he just went fast asleep. He didn't care about anything. Have you ever noticed when little babies are on their mother's back or in their mother's arms or their daddy's arms, and the little babies are looking around, just enjoying themselves, and then all of a sudden it's quiet, and you look down, sound asleep. They're off into another world. Here they are being hauled all over, as we were at the beach the other day, and this family. It was maybe about 9 o'clock, wasn't it, like that? Or no, what time did he come in? 9:30, 10:30?
9:30.
So it was 9:30. And this guy had this little tiny baby in his arms. And they were dressed casual. And there were two other little children. They were running around. And Mama. And Mama wasn't paying attention to anything. She was just having herself a good time looking at everything. And so we had just come out of the Anthony's Fish Grotto. And when we finished there, then this couple, who had looked into several restaurants, looked in there and said, this is good. And here they were dressed very casual in a very classy restaurant. And they were perfectly in place going in there. and the little baby hanging over the front of his chest there, and he just loved the kid, but he did his own thing, you know. And, you know, he might have been playing baseball with the baby hanging there, and it wouldn't have bothered him at all, or the baby, because the baby was in its world. And when the baby woke up, you can be sure the baby would be in its father's world, doing whatever the father did. And the father's world would be a wonderful world, because that angel was there. Now, so the kid grows up to be Bill Gates or some other prominent person, and the father says, I remember him when he was young. And you don't. You don't remember that. Because every day is a new day. Every day is a new experience, and every day is a new world starting and completing for you. It's not that the world is ended, but it's that chapter, that drama, that theater that has come to a completion, and the crowd applauds the show, and silently everyone goes away and goes to bed and wakes up to a new day and say, what a wonderful day this is! What great things are going to happen to me this day! I'm ready! And what about you? You may not say outwardly that you're ready, but you're ready. And I think of people who love to sleep, and they love to sleep and go to bed and sleep and sleep and sleep, and I think to myself, I can't do that. I go to bed and I sleep. Well, there are times when I work a little harder and I want a little more rest, but basically not much more than 8 hours, if that many, you know. And so last night I went to bed about 10 o'clock, and I was sitting on the computer doing a few things before I went to bed, and then I let the computer run itself off. And I laid in bed, and I had, just a jillion things going through my mind. I was in all sorts of places and all sorts of things, and not a neat people, you know. And so then I went to sleep. And in the morning, after getting up once or twice at night, but in the morning when I got up, I couldn't lay back down. So I pressed a button on my bed, and it flattened the bed out. I have an electric bed. And I straightened out my covers, put the coverlet on, and got breakfast ready, took care of all the little details, and took a shower and shaved and shined and did all the good stuff that you do. And there's no thought of going back to bed. There's no thought of being tired or wanting to go back to bed. Only the thought of, hey, there's so many adventures. Now, shall I take my walk this morning, or shall I learn GarageBand and really get in there and push it through to come up with something that I know? And I did. I did. I took 2 more hours, you know, and I went right in there. And I thought, well, Anita usually gets here around 6 to water my trees, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do when she goes to New Zealand. I'll have to just let the trees be unwatered. And when you come back again in a few years, you can water them, or sooner. But whatever you choose. So, but hey, am I worried? No. I'll have Jason fly out here every morning and water my trees for me. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah?
Wonderful.
And you know what Jason would do? He'd hire himself a bunch of guys to link for him and take care of all these goodies. But life is so filled with thrills and fun that I'm not against sleeping, that's for sure. But I have no interest personally in staying in bed when my mind is up and jumping ahead, because then I'm out and doing things and having fun and getting excited about the world. And I'm living what I preach. I'm living what I teach, what I share. And I say, you grow old when you stop being interested in life. You grow old when you stop having projects. You grow old when you stay with the same computer. And I don't do that, do I? And I keep bringing new computers for all of you, too, to get you involved in them and get you going on it. Now, I'm coming in the back door with Ellen, and she's, hey, oh, yeah, you know, but Ellen has this modus operandi about her way of doing things, and that is, Herb, you learn it, be real good at it, and then teach me. And we tried to do that with Ingeborg, with Sylvia, and we said, Sylvia, you're learning Quark, you're learning Ventura, you're learning all this stuff, now teach it to us. And Sylvia comes in, she says, I just do it. I don't know how I do it. I just do it. Well, you see, then we have to just hate her, because she's just like Daniel. Daniel, we say, well, Daniel, what's his, XP and Vista and stuff like that, all this stuff's coming out on PC, you know. And Daniel says, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, Daniel, have you read the manuals? Have you read the books? Oh, no, no. He says, I just know what I'm doing and I do it. Now, is that good? Maybe. But I can assure you, it is not good when you want to teach somebody. Because if you don't know what the manual says and how it says, you can't teach anybody. And the reason you can't teach somebody, because they can't go back and look up what you've told them and reaffirm it and learn it. And if you're not going to sit on their back every single moment while they're learning it, they won't learn it. And it's just like me. I looked for some books on Apple with all the little things. And the people in the Apple store are the wrong people to talk to. I'll have to write them a note on this. They're the wrong people to talk to on this, because they have a bunch of geniuses there. And every one of them that you ask questions, oh, yeah, you do this, you press this button, yeah, this is how. And, well, how do you get from A to B? So you can go on to C to D, and they just take you all the way to X. And I said, thank you very much, that's where I want to go, but I have to go slow, because I've got to take the procedure step by step. And I can assure you, what does the Russian's name, who is a chess man, Garcius or something or other, amazing boy, he could play 15 or more games of chess at one time and keep track of it. How did he do that? How did he do that?
Mental picture. One.
What did you say? Mental what?
Mental picture.
How did he do that?
Being one with all.
No. Sylvia's on base here. One game at a time. He looked at the chessboard for each game, one game at a time, and played it. And then he also read the mind of the people he was playing with on each board and knew their personality, knew what way they would handle things and what way they would go. But basically, he played one game at a time, and he knew all the possibilities of a move, of each move. And as he made a move, it was to draw the other man out into foolishness or to place himself soundly for his next move, no matter what the other fellow did. You know, it's true. Now, are you a defensive or offensive player? Are you defending yourself, or are you going out where angels fear to tread and just bouncing along and being a winner, you know? Or what are you? So this is what we all have to come to a conclusion of. If we're going to be like Daniel, who is a genius and doesn't read the manual and can't explain the manual to you, but he just says, do this, do this, that's not my way of learning. And when I go to the geniuses, the genius bar, as well as geeks at Best Buy, I have the same situation. And I come away and I feel, you know, you're like a stoop, you know. And I'm not stupid. But they haven't taken me the proper road. They look at me and they say, my God, old man, you know, you've been around the block 100 times. You should know everything already. Yeah, I do. But this is a new program I'd like to become aware of, you know. When did Apple born? When was Apple born? Not too long ago. In 75, I bought a PC in a lunchbox. You know what a lunchbox is? It's like this here, a square thing and heavy. And I carried that all over Europe. I wrote all of my books on that. And I could write one chapter of 10 pages of 3,000 words each, approximately something like that, before, and then I had to put in a different disc. But each disc, and it was holding something like 350 megabytes, you know, some silly thing like that. And but the program was so that it gobbled it all up. And I was probably one of the first, well, I wasn't the first, I was the first to expect it. I had four discs that I used for my work programs. And you have to stick the disc in that you're going to use for your work program first, take it out, and then stick in the blank disc that you're going to put something on, and then type. And so I went to San Marcos is where I went, I told the dealer there of my Hyperion lunchbox computer. I said, I would like to have my software here from my disk that I use all the time. I'd like to have it burned onto my computer. And the young man, the sales clerk, said, can't be done, can't be done, can't be done. And I said, let me talk to your manager. And so the manager came over, and he had a young man in tail with him. And I said, this is what I want to do. The manager said, I heard about that being done. I heard that they're working on that. And the young man who was with him said, I just started my business now, and that's what I'm doing. That's my new business is. Wonderful, wonderful. 3 days to put three disks burning onto the computer. 3 days.
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of money. And so he did it, and I didn't have to stick those discs in anymore. But also, when the program was changed, I had the old program burned in there, you know. And so, fortunately, it was more DOS and so forth than it was the software of particulars. But I learned a lot. I've been down there. I've been around the block a couple times with this stuff. And I've been with computers from their birth, so to speak, but not really, because the big cyclotron computers and what have you, they're going way, way, way back, you know. And you know, the big computer, the IBM made it big, a big city block, you know, for a little adding machine. But today, wow. What magic we are doing. So, as I learn each new step, I take it step by step by step. And I take it step by step because my old ways don't want to give up to the new ways readily and easily. And I have to keep saying, it can be done, it can be done, it can be done, it can be done. But it's not been done, and they don't have all of it just easily described to you. That's the thing. I should probably write the book myself, but I have too many other things I'm having fun with instead of writing books on computers. But it's fun. Then you can do it too. You can do it too. And it is fun. And it's just a matter of the older you get. I'm 25 now. And the older you get, the more new games you learn. And you put children, these stupid children, on your beautiful computer, and they go, they pound it, and they do this, and they kill it, and they bring it back to life, and they do all the things that, and you're afraid to do that, because you know what you paid for it. they don't know what you paid for it, they don't care. It's something to be used, to be utilized, to be learned, and to have fun with. And when they're done, they hadn't heard it. They might have rearranged a few pixels, but they haven't heard it. And it works better than ever. But that's the magic of it. I know that I know that I know the divine in me is the answer for everything. And I can give you a lot of illustrations on that too. But I see we've crossed the bar this morning. We're now 25 minutes, and it's time for us to say, have a wonderful day, and I know your day is going to be like my day, because I see you having your day, and my day is great. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.